Good morning, everyone. Well, I'm so glad that all of you survived the polar vortex, and you're all here to talk about it and tell about it. Kathy and I, of course, we escaped to the west, but we were in another snowy tundra, but for the first time ever that we've been out west during the winter, that it was actually warmer there than here, which was crazy. So we are not going to get the polar vortex merit badge. We're pretty upset. But you guys all get one, so that's great. I'm glad you survived. Please take your Bibles and turn to Acts chapter 8 today. Acts chapter 8. We'll be looking at the last portion of Acts 8. We have the encounter of Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch today, as Luke continues his account of the early church. Acts chapter 8, starting in verse 26 to the end of the chapter. And here we read, "Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, rise and go toward the south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a desert place. And he rose and went, and there was an Ethiopian, a eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasure. He had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning, seated in his chariot, and he was reading the prophet Isaiah. And the Spirit said to Philip, go over and join this chariot. So Philip ran to him and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet and asked, do you understand what you are reading? And he said, how can I unless someone guides me? And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Now the passage of the scripture that he was reading was this, like a lamb he was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he opens not his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. And who can describe his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth. And the eunuch said to Philip, about whom, I ask you, does the prophet say this? About himself or about someone else? Then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning with this scripture, he told him the good news about Jesus. And as they were going along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What prevents me from being baptized? And he commanded the chariot to stop. And they both went down into the water, Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord carried Philip away, and the eunuch saw him no more and went on his way rejoicing. But Philip found himself at Azotus, and as he passed through, he preached the gospel to all the towns until he came to Caesarea. May the Lord add his blessing at the hearing and the reading of his word this morning. Well, the year was 2004. And I was in the midst of the beginnings of a church plant in Michigan. And I received a phone call from an elderly gentleman. And he said to me, do you have the words of the songs up on the screen at your church? Do you have the words up on display, you know, to sing along with? I said, yeah, we've got a projector and we put the words up there to sing. He goes, oh, good. You know, my wife Dorothy and I have gotten so old that it's just hard for us to read the book. And so we like it when the words are up there like that. Could we come and visit your church? Well, sure. Be sure and introduce yourself. And we'd love to talk to you. Love to meet you. So that Sunday they came, and it was great. From Sunday after Sunday, Wayne and his wife Dorothy would greet me after every Sunday message, and they'd shake my hand. And every Sunday, Wayne would go, Brad, thank you so much for your message. I just really appreciate that. Thank you so much. As time went by, we had scheduled a baptism service in April right after Easter. And several Sundays before that, Wayne came up to me after the service as usual, thanked me for the message. He goes, hey, Brad, you know, I know you're having that baptism service coming up, and you know, when I was a young man, I gave my life to Christ, but I was supposed to get baptized, but, you know, there was this war, you know, World War II, And so I never got baptized. Do you think I could be baptized, you know, that Sunday coming up? I said, oh, Wayne, that'd be great. I'd love to baptize you. I'd be honored to be a part of that. He goes, well, could you baptize Dorothy too? Well, sure. I'd love to do that. So we scheduled, to have the baptism for Wayne and Dorothy. And we went through a little baptism class with them. And we were all set to do the baptism. And a week before, he calls me and goes, oh, Pastor Brad, I'm really sorry, but I can't get baptized this coming Sunday. I'm so sorry. I said, what's going on? Well, you know, because of the war and, you know, as an infantryman, you know, I got this gout and it just acts up sometimes. And the doctor says I probably shouldn't get in standing water, you know, until it clears up a little bit. But I'll let you know when I can be baptized. Well, you just let us know, Wayne, and we'll fill the baptismal and we're all about it for you, buddy. Beautiful account, an eagerness, a desire to follow Jesus Christ in obedience. Even though he's in his early 80s, he was so eager to follow Christ. He wanted everyone to know about his commitment to Christ that he had made years and years before. Now, there are three things that we generally really don't like as people. We don't like following orders, do we? We don't like being stretched beyond our comfort zones, and we really don't like change. We are all creatures of habit, and we would really prefer not to be bothered with things changing all that much around us, especially when it comes to working on or changing anything about ourselves. With equal disdain, we don't like having to follow someone else's lead either. We don't like being told what to do, when to do it, and especially how to do it, right? More than all else, we really are people who long for and desire comfort, security, and ease, if we're honest with ourselves. We don't like to be inconvenienced, and we really would prefer not to have to talk to anyone about things that might make them or ourselves feel uncomfortable. But as Christ followers, things should be different for us. We, all of us, should all long to follow God's leading. We should all long to share our faith with others, even when it may seem awkward or uncomfortable. And if Christ really dwells within us through faith, our lives should really demonstrate transformation and change through the Holy Spirit's work within us. And as we'll see today, ultimately, to follow God's leading in our lives, we need to be open to God's calling, obedient to the Spirit's direction, and sensitive to the needs of others. We need to share our faith with others, and we need to do this humbly guiding people into truth, handling the Word of God rightly as we proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. A truly transformed life will demonstrate an enthusiastic faith, a willing obedience, and an enduring joy that is made manifest through a relentless divine purpose. And as we trust God with His leading and faithfully share the good news about Christ, we will most certainly see the beauty of transformed lives all around us and even within ourselves. We're talking about the spread of the Word. Spread the Word. Today, the beauty of a transformed life. And here we have this journey that Philip is on. And I just happen to have a cool gizmo as I throw up a map for you. There it is. Bam! Isn't that cool? And so we start here in Jerusalem. There's persecution, right? And to escape persecution in Jerusalem, Philip fled from Jerusalem up to Samaria here to the north in the rugged country there in the mountain area. And while he was there, an angel commanded him to meet an Ethiopian official on the road between Jerusalem and Gaza. So he goes from here down to here. Boom, there's where the meeting took place right there. That's the road from Jerusalem to Gaza. That's where the Gaza Strip is to this day. Eventually, the Ethiopian is going to continue all the way back home to Egypt and actually further south to Ethiopia, which is, by the way, an incredibly long journey. So now you know where we are. So who are we talking about? Who are the players in our text today? Well, we have Philip, one of the original 12 disciples of Jesus, now an apostle sent out by Christ himself to proclaim the good news of salvation that's found through faith in Christ. And there was this Ethiopian eunuch, it says in verse 27, who was returning from worship in Jerusalem. Ethiopia and central eastern Africa, just south of Egypt and the Sudan. This is where Philip met the eunuch. It was a long way from the eunuch's home, and As a eunuch, it's possible he had been sterilized with the role of protecting the queen's bed, as well as his other duties in overseeing the treasury. But as an Ethiopian proselyte Jew, that is a converted Jew, as an African, and a eunuch who had just come from Jerusalem, it was likely that he would have been excluded from being able to worship in the inner courts at the temple where the rest of the Israelites would worship. In other words, even though he wanted to worship God, he would still have been seen as an outcast. But now the good news of the inclusivity of Christ was going to be revealed to him through Philip. You'll also note in the text that verse 37 is missing in the ESV. And you're going, what's going on? Someone's tampered with her Bible. No, not what you have in front of you. That's untampered. It appears that the earliest manuscripts of the Greek text did not have verse 37, and that somehow, somewhere along the way, by the time the King James Version was put together, someone had added a little amendment here, and that read, "And Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may be baptized, if you will. And he replied, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." So again, apparently that portion is likely not part of the original manuscript. So just be aware of that. But today we have three truths for our consideration as we look at the beauty of a transformed life. But before we study, let's ask God's help. Will you pray with me? Our gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for today. Thank you for this incredible opportunity we have to study your word. Lord, may we glean all we possibly can from this text, from your word to us by the power of your Spirit. Lord, open our hearts and our minds to receive from you this day. Be our teacher, be our guide. Knowing, Lord, that there's no one here by accident, but you've drawn them for your purposes this day. Help us to not miss anything. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your truth. And now, help us to attend to you. We pray this in your Son's wonderful and awesome name this morning. Amen. If you have your sermon notes outlined, here's the first truth for you today. To follow God's leading, we need to be, first of all, open to God's calling. And here we see Philip is completely open to God's calling. That's what it says. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Rise and go toward the south, to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza." This is a desert place. And he rose and went. He's told to rise and go. What does he do? He goes. And there was an Ethiopian, a eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasure. He had come to Jerusalem to worship and was now returning, seated in his chariot, and he was reading the prophet Isaiah. An incredible opportunity. And here Philip is open to God's calling. We have an angel of the Lord. This phrase appears 67 times throughout all of Scriptures, 4 times in the book of Acts. An angel of the Lord appears and speaks. Not all of us will necessarily have an angel of the Lord appear to us or say something to us, but God does still call people to follow him in many other ways. He's told to rise up and go toward the south to a desert place. God may call you to the middle of nowhere. That's happened to Kathy and I several times throughout our ministry, where we were called to the middle of nowhere. We were called to the middle of nowhere, Coldwater, Michigan, to the middle of nowhere, in Angola, Indiana, and God did work in us and through us, in spite of us, for his purposes there. And he rose and he went. Notice his obedience. He's open to God's calling. Philip was open to what God wanted him to do in his life, and he got up and he went, and he was told to go, and he was willing to go. Just like Isaiah was 700 years prior, Isaiah 6:8, Isaiah writes, "And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? Then I said, here I am, send me." Is that your heart? Do you have a willingness? Do you have an openness to heed God's call in your life? Here I am, send me. I want to go. I want to be the first one to sign up. I want to make a difference. By the way, here's an irony that the Ethiopian was actually reading Isaiah. As we see the angel of the Lord speaking to Philip in quite a comparison between Isaiah and Philip himself. But to follow God's leading, we need to be open to God's calling. Are you open to God's calling this morning? Secondly, to follow God's leading, we need to be obedient to the Spirit's direction. Notice what it says in 29. And the Spirit said to Philip, go over and join this chariot. So Philip ran to him. The Spirit said, well, how does the Spirit talk to our hearts? In this moment, I don't know exactly how it happened, how all of a sudden Philip has an understanding about what God is directing him to do, to go over and talk to this man. I don't know if that's ever happened to you, or all of a sudden you feel an intense pressure that I need to do something, I need to intervene, I need to make a difference here. And that's exactly what's happening in Philip's heart and his life. And maybe it's through God's word in particular that we sense his Spirit's calling on us, or through the person of Jesus Christ as Paul experienced on the road to Damascus, or through his Spirit in us as we hear his still small voice in us, or through his creation, or through other strong believers that speak to our hearts, or through our worship in the midst of singing and worshiping, God moves us through our circumstances, through prayer. But no matter what we think we're hearing from the Lord, it needs to be filtered through his word more than anything else. Philip was clearly sensitive to the work of God's Spirit in his life, and with that sensitivity came obedience. So much so that in verse 30 it says that Philip ran to meet the Ethiopian eunuch. He's running to talk to this guy. How about you? Are you submitting to the Spirit's direction in your life? Or is there too much noise in your world to hear his call? Too much noise to follow his lead? Too much media? Too many movies? Too many videos, texts, and grams? Too many likes? Too many voices, discussions, conflicts? Are you intent on obeying his voice more than all else? To follow God's leading, we need to be obedient to the Spirit's direction. Where is he calling you? Where is he directing you? In this case, Philip is directed specifically to go talk to this man, this Ethiopian eunuch. Thirdly, for us to follow God, we need to be sensitive to the needs of others. To follow God's leading, we need to be sensitive to the needs of others. Notice what it says in the text in verse 30. And I heard him reading Isaiah, the prophet asked. And the prophet asked, do you understand what you're reading? He heard him reading Isaiah. Philip was observant. He took the time to see and perceive what was going on, even though he had hurried to get there. After assessing the situation, Philip simply asked, do you understand what you're reading? He transitions the situation. He shows up. You can imagine the Ethiopian eunuch is like, well, who's this guy? And there he is. And, hey, I see you've got God's word there. Do you understand what you're looking at? Instant invitation for a spiritual discussion, wouldn't you say? Transitions the discussion. How can we do this? How can you transition your discussions, your conversations, to be spiritual? There's all kinds of things you could say. You could start pontificating. You could start preaching. But that's not what Philip does. He asks a question. Do you understand what you got there? And by the way, that's my encouragement to you. Start with a question. To transition the discussion, start with a question. What kind of question? Well, this is a great question. You know what you have there that you're reading? Or how about this question? Have you ever really just read the Bible? I mean, that's an interesting question to ask. Have you ever just read the Bible ever? No. Well, why not? Ask the question. Well, yeah, I have read the Bible. Well, did you understand it? No, I didn't. These are some of the answers you might get. Were you able to understand everything you were reading? Did you understand Leviticus? Really? Oh, really? Probably not. So tell me about your spiritual faith. Tell me about your spiritual journey. What's the most important thing in your life? What matters the most to you? Why is that so important to you? These are questions we can ask people to get a discussion going. After a person shares something difficult going on in their life, hey, would it be okay if I pray for you? And after a person shares their frustration with what's going on in the world, here's a great question. When I remember as a State Farm agent years ago, people would be in my office that's crabbing about everything, right? That's what people do. They just crab. In the midst of one guy's crabbing, I goes, you know, why do you think everything's so messed up? Why do you think that's the case? And of course, he had his answer, and that gave me an opportunity to segue, go, well, you know, I think it's probably sin. What do you think about that? You think it's rebellion? That's the problem? Oh, you know, I never thought of that. Yeah, okay. Let's talk about it. Transition the conversation. Where do you think all this is going in the future? What are you looking forward to? What are you dreading the most right now? So Philip asked the man simply, do you understand what you're reading? And by the way, Isaiah is a hard book to read and understand in its own right. Plus, in all likelihood, the language of the text was not in the Ethiopian's native tongue, so that might have made it a challenge for him to understand as well. We don't know if the eunuch had a handle on Hebrew or Greek. We don't know if he's actually got a Hebrew or Greek text in front of him. We don't know. But after asking the man if he understands what he's reading, he then waits to hear the answer. This, too, requires sensitivity. Are you really waiting to hear the answers after you ask, or are you so busy wrapped up with what you want to say? Maybe we should be more patient. Maybe we need to ask even more questions after we hear the initial answer. Are you waiting to hear the answers on where people are coming from so that you can really help them with truth? Beloved, to follow God's leading, we need to be open to God's calling, obedient to the Spirit's direction, sensitive to the needs of others. Secondly, this morning, to share our faith with others, we need to, first of all, what? Humbly guide others into truth. Humbly guide others into truth. In verse 31, I love this. The Ethiopian eunuch responds in verse 31, how can I? In other words, how can I understand unless someone guides me? And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. All of us need a guide. We all need discipleship, someone who will come alongside us to guide us into truth. By God's grace, I was discipled by many faithful men in my life over the years. My parents, my pastors, my good Christian friends who spoke into my world because of their love for me. And I just ask you, who are you guiding? Are you looking for these relationships? Are you seeking them out? I'm personally constantly looking for these opportunities. And by God's grace, the Lord has always opened up doors for opportunity to invest in people's lives. I think of a young kid that was in a singing group I directed years ago. And man, he just had a handle on God's word. And so I invited him to share the gospel at the concerts that we did with Youth for Christ. And so now he's sharing the gospel and he's like 17 years old, wrapping up our concert ministry. And then the guy, you know, went on to be this incredible pastor. He's got his doctorate. And now he's president of a mobilization organization that helps people from all over the world to be credentialed as pastors in missionary agencies. Incredible. Incredible stories. Or Carl Brumman or Jesse Bartz. You don't know these people. But these are kids in a youth group that was at way before I ever went into ministry. You mean I can do this before being a pastor? Yes. Just meeting with students in a youth group. I'd meet these guys and I'd bring donuts and chocolate milk. That always works. Donuts and chocolate milk. Another group, I'd bring Pop-Tarts and chocolate milk. Chocolate milk is the key. And we'd bring them together and I'd take them through all kinds of studies. Carl Brumman, I took him through systematic theology by Louis Burkhoff. Or the Gospel of John. Constantly looking for opportunities. Someone prays to receive Christ. I want to meet with them on an ongoing basis to disciple them, to show them truth, to get a handle on who Jesus is. In some cases, I'll start with the Gospel of John. In some cases, I've started with Genesis. Let's go back to the beginning. Let's start all over so we understand what it's all about and why we follow Christ. It's called discipleship. People need guides. I've been blessed to be able to help people with all kinds of things over the years as a guide. Taking people through the book, The Peacemaker, or studies on fear, anxiety, anger, sexual addiction, substance abuse. There's a whole host of things that we can help people with as we guide them. Jesus said in Matthew 28, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. What a beautiful promise. Then the process of our disciple making, the Lord Jesus promises his manifest presence with us to do so. We're not alone in this. As we love people, as we care, as we pour out our hearts, as we disciple, doing so as we go, as we baptize, bringing people to a place of identifying with Christ, right? That's what baptism is, right? And teaching them all that Jesus has commanded. Beloved, to share our faith with others, we need to humbly guide others into truth. Secondly, handling the word rightly. We need to handle the word rightly as we come as a guide to help people. Verse 32, now the passage of the scripture that he was reading was this: like a sheep he was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he opens not his mouth. In his humiliation justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation, for his life is taken away from the earth? And the eunuch said to Philip, you know, about whom, I ask you, does the prophet say this? About himself or about someone else? That's a great question. Here's Isaiah writing these things, and the eunuch's not sure what's the reference point. What's the context of this particular passage? Then Philip opened his mouth and beginning with this scripture. There's a brilliant idea. If you want to share anything with people, share truth. Share scripture. So what doesn't happen? Philip doesn't go, well, here are all my opinions and this is why I think it's the way it is. Let me show you this chart over here. No, he goes, hey, let's look at the book. Let me show you from the book what it says, what it means. How many times I've been in small groups, you know, and you ask a question in a Bible study, and people start, you know, pontificating about a whole bunch of stuff that has nothing to do with the book. And I go, but what does the passage say, please? I want to hear from what God has to say. Why? Because that's the only thing that matters, right? We need to handle the word rightly. Paul says to Timothy, the young pastoral protege, do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth. By the way, that's the acronym for AWANA that we do every Wednesday night with our little children. Approved workmen are not ashamed. Do you want to make disciples? Is that your heart to make disciples? And why don't you come on a Wednesday night and help Joe Greenwood make disciples with our little children. You want to make disciples? Help Pastor Mark in our youth ministry. Volunteer for our men's ministry or our women's ministry. There's all kinds of things to do, folks. What's the passage say? Like a sheep is being described here. Like a sheep being led to slaughter. Well, who's that? It's Jesus. What a fantastic opportunity. He just happens to be reading a passage in the Old Testament precisely about Jesus. About whom, I ask, does this speak of? It's Jesus. It's not about the prophet. It's about Jesus. Does Philip give him his opinion? No. He gives the eunuch God's word. And beginning with this scripture, which gives the implication that it wasn't just this scripture that was talked about, but a whole bunch of other scriptures. Beginning with this scripture, that gives us the assumption that there's more scripture coming that he points to. And by the way, how much of the New Testament is he able to use to share the gospel with this guy? Zero, right? Because the New Testament hasn't been written yet. So all he has access to, in this case, he's got an Isaiah scroll. Amazing. Beloved, we need to handle the word rightly. Thirdly here, we need to proclaim the good news. And by the way, this is the centerpiece of the whole passage, verse 35. He told him the good news of Jesus. He shares the gospel. That's what gospel means, good news, the good spiel, the good story. He has the Isaiah scroll right in front of him. This is an incredible opportunity, a good, fantastic, God-ordained moment. Beginning with this passage. Well, where's this passage from? Isaiah 53, 4 through 8. I won't put it on the screen, but listen closely. Look what Philip can just grab on right from this passage. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with his wounds we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that before its shears is silent, so he opened not his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away. And as for his generation, who considered that he was cut off out of the land of the living, stricken for the transgression of my people? What a clear presentation of who Jesus is and what he came to do. He was afflicted on our account. He took upon himself our iniquity, our sin, full payment. Of course, you could easily refer to other passages like Isaiah 7:14. Few pages before, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Two pages over in Isaiah 9, for to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace, there will be no end on the throne of David and over his kingdom to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. Amazing. He's got the whole scroll there before him to be able to share the context of who's being spoken of here. Jesus, the Christ. You need to know Jesus because that's what this is about. Years ago, Kathy and I made a trip to Israel, and we flew on El Al Airlines. And on our way home, you know, we have these stewardesses who, by the way, all these young people, male or female, they all served in the Israeli army. And they could probably, you know, take anybody out any moment. So, you know, here's this young gal who's now out of the military, now serving as a stewardess. And it just so happened, in terms of how God arranged things, we're sitting at the front of a bulkhead, and there's a little jump seat in front of us where the stewardesses are sitting facing us. And so, I'm, you know, how you doing? You know, you can't help but, you know, you're right there. You're, you know, she talks to her companion across the aisle, but, you know, we're pretty close. Of course, she asked the question, so, you know, what brought you to Israel? I said, well, I'm a pastor, and we came to see where Jesus walked. And she starts asking the question, so you think Jesus is the Messiah, right? Well, yeah, I do. What a perfect opportunity. So what do you think about Jesus? That was my transition. Well, what do you think about Jesus? Well, here's what I know. He can't be the Messiah. Well, why not? Because if Messiah came, then everything would be different. Everything would be made right. You understand her view? Do you see where her view is? I said, well, but wait a minute. The book of Isaiah says some things that you might want to consider. It's in the Tanakh. The Tanakh, that's the Old Testament for the Jew. You might want to consider that because it talks about a suffering servant who must come. The Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world before he comes and makes all things right. She's like, which passages is that? Well, let me write them down for you, okay? Took my little business card, Isaiah 7, Isaiah 9, Isaiah 53. Got them all there. Here you go. You've got my number. You know, if you ever have questions, be glad to help any way I can. You know, I don't know, I planted a seed, right? Based on some little conversation that got transitioned. Especially right with this little topic, this a passage of Isaiah. Beloved, we need to proclaim the good news. We need to handle the word rightly. We need to humbly guide others into truth. This is how we share our faith. Thirdly, lastly today, a truly transformed life will demonstrate four things. What are they? First of all, a truly transformed life will demonstrate an enthusiastic faith. Do you notice what's going on in the life of the eunuch? Man, he is transformed. He is pumped. He is excited. And as they were going along, it says, They came to some water, and the eunuch said, hey, there's water. You know, what prevents me from being baptized? I can get baptized, right? It's time, right? There's some water. In other words, I want to demonstrate my faith. I believe. I want to identify with Jesus as my Savior by going under the water, demonstrating his death on the cross and my death with him. And then I want to come out of the water being raised to new life, just like Jesus came out of the tomb. I want to be about that. There's some water. Let's do it. What's Phil say? No, you got to go through that class and you got to, maybe if we just, wait a bit and see if you're really sincere. No, let's do this. Enthusiastic faith. I ask you, in your own heart, in your own life, many of you followed Christ for many years. Are you still on fire for him? Are you still enthusiastic about your faith? Years ago, I was convicted by this passage when I was in high school, Revelation 3:15, where Jesus says, I know your works, as he speaks to the church in Laodicea. I know your works. You are neither cold nor hot. Would that you were either cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. Remember as a young man, playing the game, I'd go to my high school and live one way and go to church and hang out with my church friends and live a different way. I was in spiritual conflict. And I heard a guy speak on this at a summer youth program one night. And, the guy used this passage and I was like, oh no, this is me. I'm lukewarm boy. And quite frankly, as lukewarm boy, I am God vomit. I mean, that's what it says. Spew you out of my mouth. And the guy challenged all of us to be on fire for Christ. I'm pretty sure I didn't fully understand what that meant. Certainly didn't mean being a pastor. Last thing on my mind. But I knew I had a problem, a spiritual problem, and I knew at that time that I needed to be on fire for Christ. A transformed life will demonstrate an enthusiastic faith. And so that night I raised my hand, I prayed with this guy to be on fire for the Lord, and everything changed from that moment on. Everything changed in my life to the extent that the Lord led us all this way to pastoral ministry. How's your faith today? Is it enthusiastic? Secondly, a truly transformed life will demonstrate a willing obedience. And he commanded the chariot to stop, and they both went down in the water, Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized them. Obedience. There should be life change. In the early church, it was unheard of that a Christian wasn't baptized. And if you haven't been baptized, if you haven't demonstrated your obedience, I just ask you, what are you waiting for? In light of all that he has done for you, won't you acknowledge your Savior publicly? Matthew 10:32, Jesus himself says, so everyone who acknowledges me before men, I also will acknowledge before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I also will deny before my Father who is in heaven. I'm not fully sure what that means, but the bad end of this is not good. Right? I want to be on the good end of this. I want to demonstrate obedience. I want to acknowledge Christ before my Heavenly Father. A transformed life will demonstrate a willing obedience. And by the way, I've seen this in amazing ways in the lives of God's people over the years. People going through horrible situations, and they have demonstrated time and time again their incredible obedience to Christ in a horrible marriage situation, a horrible job situation, a financial setback, a horrible health thing. I've seen people so faithful, and they stayed obedient, and they trusted God, and God made all the difference. An enthusiastic faith, a willing obedience, and an enduring joy. Verse 39 says, and when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord carried Philip away. I'll be honest, I don't know what that fully means. He lifted it up and took him somewhere and dropped him? I don't know. And the eunuch saw him no more and went on his way rejoicing. I love this. It's an enduring joy. It's not based on circumstances or who was with him. He's still full of joy. You think, oh, Philip, you're leaving? You don't have to leave so soon. No, he was, hey, see ya. This is awesome. an enduring joy, no matter what the circumstance. Of course, in terms of the rest of the story regarding the eunuch, many believe that this eunuch, this particular event with this eunuch, was the very beginning of the church in Ethiopia, which still has a huge presence in Ethiopia to this day. Beloved, to this day, 60% of the country in Ethiopia is still Christian, even though virtually all of the other African nations around them have converted to Islam. The largest Protestant church is the Ethiopian Evangelical Church with 5 million members, all because of one man coming to Christ. And you go, wow. It's got to start somewhere. Lastly, in terms of our discussion today, a truly transformed life will demonstrate a relentless divine purpose. Here we're going to turn back to focus on Philip for one moment. Notice the changed life in Philip. Remember, Philip was one of the 12 disciples who at one point had all deserted Jesus when he went to the cross, right? But now, after Pentecost, he's on fire for Christ to such a degree, it says, but Philip found himself at Azotus. Again, I don't know what that means, that, you know, he's at Azotus, or, you know, he journeyed there. I don't know. He got there somehow, okay? And as he passed through, he preached the gospel to all the towns. How many of them? All of them, until he came to Caesarea, which is on the coast. What is his purpose here? He wants to preach the gospel. He's got a divine purpose, a relentless divine purpose. No, nothing's going to stop me. If you fire me here, it's okay. I'm going to go somewhere else and do this. It doesn't matter to me. You can't stop me from proclaiming this. Philip's life had been so transformed that he was committed to proclaiming the gospel come what may, all the way to his death. He too was later placed on a cross and was crucified as his Savior was. The Ethiopian eunuch's life had been transformed. Philip's life had been transformed. My new friend at my church in Michigan, Wayne Warfield, his life had been transformed, but he never had the opportunity to be baptized. And so now he finally has the opportunity. He's like, could I be baptized, Brad? He says, well, I can't this week. Well, we'll schedule another date. So we schedule another date a few months later. And so now I'm in the baptismal with Wayne Warfield, little bitty guy, World War II vet. And I said to Wayne, where were you 60 years to the day? Well, I was on the beaches of Normandy. There wasn't a dry eye in the church. This little guy, he had walked from France all the way to Germany as an infantryman. Men of whom the world is not worthy, Scripture talks about. Faithful, Christ-centered man who in his 80s still wants to obey. I said, Wayne, what's it like being here in this water compared to the beaches of Normandy? He said, oh, I'd much rather be here, he said. No kidding. And so we baptized Wayne. And then Dorothy got in. We baptized Dorothy. Beautiful testimony. Hey, where's the water? Where can I demonstrate my obedience? Where can I demonstrate my faithfulness? Beloved, as Christ followers, things should be different for us. We should all long to follow God's leading. We should all long to share our faith with others, even when it may seem awkward, uncomfortable. To follow God's leading in our lives, we need to be open to God's calling, obedient to the Spirit's direction, and sensitive to the needs of others. To share our faith with others, we need to humbly guide people into truth, handling the word of God rightly as we proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. A truly transformed life will demonstrate an enthusiastic faith, even in your 80s, a willing obedience, an enduring joy that is made manifest through a relentless divine purpose. Beloved, as we trust God with his leading and faithfully share the good news about Jesus, we will most certainly see the beauty of transformed lives among us, as well as a transformed life within ourselves. Are you open to his calling? Are you humbly guiding others? Do you have an enthusiastic faith that demonstrates willing obedience and enduring joy and a relentless divine purpose? Would you please stand with me as we close our service? Our gracious Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the power of testimony. Lord, as we've seen the testimony of Christ, as he lived a godly life, as he laid down his life for us and rose again, we see the testimony of Philip, a changed life, as he's determined to proclaim truth, come what may, to follow your lead, to be obedient to your guidance. Faithfully, rightly handling your word. And then, Lord, with the eunuch, such eagerness, such willingness to obey, to follow. And with Philip's ongoing ministry, this relentless divine purpose. Oh God, grant us that. Make us who you want us to be. May we be submitted to all that you would have for us. That we wouldn't be shaken by our culture. We wouldn't be shaken by the politics, the horrible legislative decisions that are being made. But we would be relentless in proclaiming Christ and him crucified. Lord, thank you for your work in our hearts and lives by the power of your Spirit. May we continue to be, as a church and as individuals, completely submitted to you in all these things that we've discussed today. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for attending to us. Thank you for moving in us by your grace. We pray all this in your Son's wonderful and awesome name. Amen. Sean?
Please remain standing for just one moment.